outpatient, and they go in, they cut you 4 or 5 times. It's amazing, the technology we have that God's given us. But even in those things, we still need the Lord to work. Amen. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. If you are able, please stand for the reading of God's Word. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. The Bible says, "And hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments." Let's pray. Father, thank you for Your Word. We ask You to bless the reading of it. Bless it tonight as it's proclaimed. May we hear tonight, Lord, what Your Word would have for us to hear. And Lord, may we do more than just hear. Help us to obey. We need Your grace, God. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. May be seated. How great is it to know that you're saved? Amen. To know without a shadow of a doubt that there is no questions about the fact that you're saved. And the question to ask ourselves is, how do we know? How do we know that we're going to spend eternity in heaven with Jesus Christ? How do we know these things? And of course, the answer must come from the Bible. Understand what we're going to look at tonight is something that we've heard because I preach it. Amen. I preach salvation. I preach in these areas. Most of you, the churches that you've come from, preached it also. Amen. And which is a blessing. So what you hear tonight will not be new. I will stress on certain areas. And I know some of you may not like the fact that I stress all the time about the repeating of prayer and all these things. But tonight, by the time we leave, I hope you'll understand why I'm so against that. Amen. It's certain names and these words I can't always say. Decisionalism, if that makes sense, or not gospel, which is not biblical. That's where they go with that, with the repeating of prayer thing. But we must base everything off of the Word of God. Do you agree? Because the Word of God is infallible. Means it is without error. The only way to establish if we're saved or not, again, is by the Word of God. If God's Word says you're saved, then you are saved. But if it says you're lost, then you are lost. Either way, we can know. We know these things, don't we? Here's the sad part. There are multitudes of denominations, multitudes of people that push their own ideas and their own agendas on how to get to heaven. And they water down the gospel so much to make it to where, listen, I heard a thing the other day. I think it was a book that said the Gospel of Matthew. That's easy for everybody to understand. They had written a book about it. So what that tells me is that they watered it down. There's nothing deep there. It's all shallow. And folks, we can't go far from Jesus Christ being shallow. We've got to dive off into the deep things and get the gold mine from the Scriptures. But here's what we've got to ask ourselves. All these opinions, all these agendas, do they line up with the Bible? 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, "Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith." I want to write this word up here. This first word and this verse. Examine. Who? Examine what? Yourselves. Why? To see whether or not you're in the faith. How do we examine ourselves? Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. Now I want to go over some things with you tonight. And I've been guilty of this before because I was going through the motions and didn't know no better myself. Though I had convictions about saying it, I still said it to people. Let me use Brother Pat as an example. Brother Pat, you're saved. I want you to write that down. It's 6:12 in the front of your Bible. Put it down. 6:12 p.m. June 23rd, 2013, Richmond Baptist Church. Now you write that down in front of your Bible. Don't never forget it. Be careful. If the devil ever makes you doubt, turn back to the front of your Bible and say, look, devil, remember that day? So in other words, I'm telling you, don't ever doubt. And if you, and the reason I don't want you to doubt, because I don't want you to examine yourself. Y'all see where I'm going with this? Yet the Bible says to do what? Examine yourself. If ever saved, or ever saved. Just because you wrote something in front of your Bible don't mean you got saved. Examine yourself. In light of the Scriptures. Easy believism. That's one of the main things we're faced with today in the Baptist church. And I'm being honest, people preach for a decision instead of preaching the Word of God. People that preach to try to pull on your emotions to make you make a decision and then not be biblical. That's one danger with church camps. Thank God for church camps. I'll be glad when we can start going back to them. Amen? As of recent, we haven't been able to go. But if you're not careful, especially with kids, you can get there and pull on their heartstrings. And then they'll make a decision right in their Bible, and then they'll keep going back to that part in their Bible instead of getting in the Bible to find out if they're truly saved or not. The Bible makes it plain and simple. There's only one way to heaven. And that's through Jesus Christ. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We know that verse, don't we? John 3:3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born from where? From above, from heaven, from God. If God does not give that man to be born again, he will not be born again. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It isn't Jesus Christ plus something. It's only Jesus Christ. I know we know these things. And going verse by verse, there's going to be things that we're going to cover that we already know and are grounded in. But we're still going to cover it. Amen. Christ is the only way to heaven. As we learn in 1 John chapter 2, let's read it, verse 2, watch. And he is the, what? Propitiation for our sins. Who's the propitiation? Only Jesus Christ. It's not the church. It's not the prayer you say. It's not baptism. It's not some kind of experience. It's not speaking in tongues. It's not the Pope. How many people you go up to and ask them if they're saved and they say, well, I was baptized, such and such. Right. So what are they trusting in? Their baptism. Oh, I joined the church on such and such. What are they trusting in? Join the church. But then you say, but only Jesus gets you. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know that. No, you don't. No, you don't. Because by the words of your mouth, you're professing, you're trusting in something else. I talked to a few people this week about Jesus and what a blessing it was. One man I talked to in particular, it was all about Jesus. Talk to him, it's Jesus this, Jesus that. And this was a colored guy, me and him, but we about to have a revival on a pond bank. Amen? How about Jesus Christ? He said he's going to come up here and visit with us one day. So come on. And he said, you know, he said, I've been to one church before up that way and had some old folk there and that's kind of eyeing me. He said, the guy I went there with told me to expect some things. I said, well, when you come out there with us, I said, expect some hugs. Amen? Because we're going to hug you. And glad you're there. But there's a difference in talking with him and talking with other people this week. He said everything about Jesus Christ, nothing about repeating a prayer, nothing about baptism, nothing about church membership. But he was all focused on what Jesus Christ did for him. And there was others. baptism, church membership. Do you see the difference there? He was specific in knowing when Christ saved him. These others said, well, probably, I don't know, 10, 12 years ago. I don't know, 15 years ago. I'm not for sure. Once that in my whole life. Get that a lot. I'm not mocking them. Here's the facts. They've never looked in the Bibles for themselves. They've never examined themselves according to the Scriptures. It's always been, that's what I believe. I agree with that. I don't know about that over there. When the Bible specifically says that Christ is the propitiation for our sins, Him and Him alone. He is the only one that appeased the wrath of God. Baptism don't do it. Amen. Neither does any of those other things. Isaiah 53 says, and it was pleasing to God to bruise Him. This simply means if you're trusting in anything else or anyone else besides Jesus Christ, you are not saved. Here's another one. I think I heard this one Friday. I think it was Friday. Might have been Thursday. Oh yeah, my uncle. Been a faithful man his whole life. Great. Glad for your uncle. My uncle was a minister. My uncle was a deacon. Faithful man. Good, good. My mama was also faithful. That's great, great. He said, my daddy wasn't so faithful. I said, okay. How about you? Oh, I joined the church. That's the way this conversation went. It didn't matter, listen, it didn't matter how much I pride and pointed towards Jesus Christ. It didn't matter because he didn't want to hear it. God hadn't opened up his eyes yet. How must we examine ourselves? By the Scriptures. I'm going to tell you why. We learned this in John chapter 6, John chapter 7, John chapter 5, John chapter 8. When Christ preached, when Christ taught, He said, I am the bread. I am the water. John chapter 4. He pointed everybody to Himself to get to the Father. John 14, 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And then you got those who trust in a denomination. My mama's side of the family, most of them, of course, today don't go nowhere. It's getting like that on my dad's side, too, pretty much. My mama's side's Catholicism. Most of them across the lake and whatnot. Now, folks, I'm not saying Catholics can't go to heaven. That's not what I'm saying. But you know what most of them trust in? Church. Pope. Let me go ahead and say this. Most Baptists are going to die and go to hell. They ain't trusting Jesus. On my dad's side, it's Charismatics. Do you know what most of them's trusting in? Feelings, experiences, great emotions, and not Jesus Christ. Amen? The baby said amen on that one. Might be a preacher when he rolls up. Is he eating fried chicken yet? Not yet, huh? Amen. It's in him. Yet we're surrounded by people who believe they're going to heaven because of their denomination, because of their preacher, or what their preacher says. And yet they refuse to get in the Word of God to examine themselves. Only Jesus Christ can save. And when He saves you, you are eternally secure in Him. Amen? It's the question, do you know without a doubt that you're saved? Now, so, but I have doubts sometimes. Great. Thank the Lord. Guess what that means? You got doubts? That means, first of all, you're human. You're still alive. Next thing, that means that you need to examine yourself according to the Word of God. I think about Brother Clint. Can I use your Brother Clint? Said you saved at what? 11, 12, 13? 11. Going to work one night. There was a wreck on the causeway. God used that, didn't he? He used it to cause some doubt. And then from that point forward, what did you do? Examine according to what? The Word. And the Word said, no. John Clint Berry ain't saved. So after he got in the Word showed him he wasn't saved, the Word also showed him what to do to be saved. And the Lord saved old Brother Clint. Amen. What a difference. Same thing with me. Same thing with many of you. 13, made profession. Live my life the way I want to live it. And God began to convict me. And I kept saying, Lord, you know back when I was 13. Lord, now, you know back whenever I was such and such, such and such, Lord. Lord, now you know, Lord. And he did. He does know. Amen. He knew I was lost. And I examined myself against the Word of God. Show me when I was saved. Show me I was lost and needed him. Amen. Reading behind A.W. Pink, he said this. If you witness very much, then you also hear this. Well, I don't know. I hope so. Maybe. Perhaps. He says, maybe and perhaps are but dust and ashes. They ain't nothing. Amen. Charles Spurgeon said this. No man ought to be content to leave that unsettled. For mark thee, if thou art not a saved man, thou art a condemned man. It's not a maybe or a hope so. Either you are or you ain't. Verse 3, 1 John 2. And hereby we. Notice that John again uses the word here, we. He's also human. He's letting the people in the church know that we can know. Any doubt can be cleared up by the Word of God. Any doubt. Cleared. Listen, in other words, you can know one way or the other. If you are or if you're not. When in doubt, I wrote this down, clear it out. By examining yourself by God's Word. He says, and hereby we what? Do know. This is an action, which means we can know for a fact. It's a simple action. In other words, listen, there's nothing wavering and without doubting. We can know. You say, but you just said it, we'll doubt. Yes, we will. But what clears it up? You go down and take the Word of God. What's the Word of God say? We can always know. I'm going to tell you about we can always know according to the Word of God, because it don't change. We change. Amen. Do you ever not feel saved? Anybody in here get the road rage? Only when you go somewhere. I asked a man one day, I was listening to a man on the radio, and this man, folks, don't take this the wrong way, but he makes me so mad, if I reach through the radio, I'll slap him. So I asked the guy, I said, does this guy ever make you mad? He said, only when I listen to him. In other words, I got a choice there, don't I? I turn the channel. But there are days that, hey, I don't feel safe sometimes. Now, if I went off my feelings, I'd be one messed up dude. Yet, the Word of God says I am saved. So, it don't matter how I feel. The Word of God says I'm saved. Then I'm saved. Our feelings are constantly changing, and this is why we cannot trust our own feelings. And I know we know this. Jeremiah 17:9 says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Listen, this verse tells us that we can't even trust our own hearts. Our experiences may be real. What are they? Truth. I think about, again, the charismatics, how they really push speaking in tongues and all these experiences and dreams and visions. What are they basing their salvation off of? All those things. I'm not saying it's not happening. I'm not saying they ain't seeing visions. But that don't mean you're saved. Read your Bible. Pharaoh had dreams and visions. That joker wasn't saved. Nebuchadnezzar, he had dreams and visions. He wasn't saved. And of course, we know the way they speak in tongues today is not biblical, so there's no reason to even go there. With all that is around us that is prone to error, and it is everywhere, why would we base our eternity on anything else except the Word of God? Our eternity. Life is but a vapor. Amen? A vapor. Taylor's 15. I keep looking at pictures, I'm thinking, doggone. 15. Looking at our ball pictures. These things. 15. Do we understand that in 3 years, she might be getting married? In 3 years! In 3 years! Poor fella. Five years for Cody. 7 years for Jacob. Next year for Lydia. She's ready now. 6 more years for Lydia. She's going to be 12. Folks, time flies. We will draw our last breath before we know it. Life is but a hand breath. Life is but a vapor. Here for a little while and then vanisheth away. Why would you waste time on basing your eternity on anything else but the Word of God? I'm going to tell you why. Because of pride. Pride. Oh, if I say that I just got saved and I've been saying I was saved, that's going to make me look like a fool. No, it ain't. It's going to make you look like everybody else in here. You was deceived at one time. And then God opened up your eyes and saved your soul. Amen. The Word of God does not change. It does not show favoritism to anyone or a denomination. It's the same. Doesn't matter what ethnic group you're from. Amen. It's the same. It's plain and it's simple. And that is one reason multitudes don't want to get in the Word of God. Because it will reveal truth. And it's not that hard to find it. It's about truth. If you really want to know, it's in the Word of God. I can't stand liars or deceivers. So for someone to take a child or a grown man and tell them to write in their Bible when they got saved, and always go back to that, makes me mad. And they should take them to the Scriptures. This is what the Bible says. Now, why is it that most people don't want to go to Scriptures? It reveals not only the person they're talking to, he reveals themselves. Well, I better keep going if I get in trouble. Verse 3. And hereby we do know that we know Him. This word know is to know in a completed sense. That is to have the knowledge of. This is an action that was completed in the past, but yet has continuing results. John's saying that we know Him without any doubts. We can know assuredly. John himself can go back to the place and time when he trusted Jesus Christ, when he heard God call him, and when he obeyed that call. Can you go back to that place and time? When Christ saved your soul. When you trusted Jesus Christ. There's more to it than that. There's not just you going back, because that's no different than writing in your Bible. A date. But from that point forward, has your life changed according to the Word of God? Amen. Establish everything by what? Two or more witnesses. Go back to that place sometime. But then according to the Bible, from that point forward, has your life changed? Has God worked in you? We're going to see some other things here in a little bit. The next part of this verse is interesting and revealing. Look at it. And hereby we do know that we know Him if. If is a conditional word. Amen? Just because someone says they're saved, we know this, does not mean that they are. The lifestyle, again, that we live proclaims much about us. If we what? If we keep His commandments. Keep, this word keep means to perform watchfully, vigilantly. The word commandments, it here, if you look up, it means the precepts and teachings of Jesus Christ. Do you know what we teach and preach today? The apostles' doctrine. Where did they get that from? Jesus Christ. Briefly, I want to remind you that John is writing to the churches of Asia Minor. The Antinomians, the Gnostics, and the Stoics have come in these churches and are trying to destroy them with heresies. They're claiming to be saved, yet they're living a lifestyle of open, known sin. And oh, how we see this in the church in America today. People stand up and sing a special one morning. The night before, they was in a bar singing karaoke and drinking. They claim to be saved, yet they're home watching pornography. They're having adulterous affairs. They cuss. Talked to a deacon 2 weeks ago. Had no idea he was a deacon until he told me. I was fixing to tell him about Jesus Christ. And I did because he needed it. He was cussing like them guys out there on the water. Amen? And I'm smiling because I can't say that name because I get hung up on it. But y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? Oh, I'm saved. I'm a deacon at so-and-so, so-and-so. I'd have never figured it. Sounds to me like you need Jesus. Multitudes claim to be saved. Yet many are not keeping the teachings of Jesus Christ. Now, folks, I want to clarify, this is not teaching that works for salvation. No way is that teaching this. Jesus never taught it works for salvation. What's missing here is love for Jesus Christ. When you start looking at it that way, what a difference. Don't raise your hands because some of you actually may raise it, but how many of you like it when you're, or would like it if your spouse had an affair on you? Would you like that? Would it make you happy? Or would it grieve you? We are the bride of who? Christ. Do you know why Israel got in so much trouble? Because they was in spiritual adultery. Read the Old Testament. God called them a whore. Hosea walked around how? Was Hosea or Isaiah? Hosea? Hosea married Gomer. I think it was Isaiah walked around naked. Reading this morning in Micah. Because guess what he had to do? Same thing. Walk around naked. Don't do that, kids. You're not prophets. Now, why do they do that? Because God was making an example. That's how Israel's heart was. Naked. Depraved. And spiritual adultery. Now, how about you and I? We're the bride of Christ. Understand, folks, when we go after other things, we make them things our gods. And we are in spiritual adultery. John 14:15, Jesus Christ says this, if ye love me, John 14:15, if ye love me, what? Yet we know this, don't we? Keep my commandments. John 14:21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Let me turn to John 14. There's more there in John 14. John 14:23. The Bible says, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. All these are all conditions. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Look at verse 24. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my... And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. Keepeth not my saying. Now, folks, Christ is not teaching here, keep his commandments to go to heaven. That's not what he's teaching. He's saying that if we love him, we'll keep his commandments. And we can't love him till we're first saved. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16 says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. That's plain and simple, folks. We're not saved by the commandment, by the law. Galatians 3:11, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. 1 John 4:19 says, we love him because he first loved us. When we love someone, we will vigilantly try and please them. Amen. When we love someone, we'll be focused on them. Our desire will be towards them, to please them. I watch all of our kids here, and especially mine. I watch myself, my wife. I think my wife loves me more than I love her. Amen? She does more for me than I do for her. Who loves me more? I mean, who loves more, Jesus or us? My. We're not able to cover all the teachings and precepts of Christ that he taught. Not able to do that. But you can read about them. Start in Matthew and read the New Testament. Not just there. He didn't do away with the law, did he? He came to fulfill the law. In Mark chapter 12, Verses 30 and 31. Jesus says in Mark 12:30, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength." This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." There is none other commandment greater than these. Christ just wrapped up the Ten Commandments in two verses. That's what he did here. This is a teaching of Jesus Christ. A precept, a commandment of Jesus Christ. When we love the Lord with our all, we'll want to please Him with all that we are. We'll put Him first. When you look at your life, what do you see? Now, I want to clarify this. None of us are perfect. None of us. We mess up. We make mistakes. We have and we will. Not perfect. But here's my question to you. Where's your love at? Is your love on Jesus? Or is it on something else? Where's your love at? Is it for self or for the Savior? So I don't know. Well, you can know. If you want to know. Because the answers are in the Bible. You know what? There's great joy in truly knowing. Great joy in truly knowing. Someone who don't know, they wrestle with it back and forth, back and forth. And listen, they hinder themselves from serving God if they are saved. And they're not getting saved, or they're not going to be saved because they are not truly looking toward a God. That makes sense. I better not use that example. 1 John 5:13 says, "These things are written, little children, that ye may know." Turn to John chapter 4. We almost finished. John chapter 4. We know this story in John 4. Jesus Christ goes to the well and meets the woman at the well. And that was not by chance or luck. That was ordained of God. And then the old girl gets saved. Amen? And she goes back into town and starts proclaiming all these people what great things Christ has done for her. Well, they want to come see for themselves. Very important there. So they come to Jesus Christ. He's still there. And look at verse 42 of John chapter 4. Look at verse 41. "And many more believe because of his own word and said unto the woman, Now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." Guess what they want? They want to know. So they went to the source. Amen? Christ is not physically in a body form with us here today, is he? He's not. What did he give us? Word of God. He holds his word above his name. Peter tells us that we are to put the word of God above any kind of experience we've ever had. Peter speaks of that, speaking of the transfiguration. We have a more sure word of prophecy, the word of God. Don't take someone else's word for it. Find out for yourself. And know for sure that God's word says you are saved. And then you can live in that confidence. And then you can leave this life in that confidence. What a difference it is to face death knowing that you're truly saved. Not deceiving yourself. Not deceiving others. But knowing that you're saved. According to the word of God. Do you know that tonight? I'm looking at everybody. Do you know that you're saved according to the Word of God? Lord willing, next time we're back here in the pulpit on a Sunday night, which will be a few weeks, we'll get into verse 4 of 1 John. But until then, I want to encourage you to examine your life according to the Scriptures. We can know. I want to encourage you to challenge others to examine their lives. Now, challenge them with the spirit of meekness now. Meekness is power under control. Meekness is not you taking a ball-peen hammer and hitting them between the eyes. Amen? Meekness is being gentle as a dove and wise as a serpent. Use the Word of God. Don't abuse it. First of all, examine yourself to know that you are in the faith. And use the Word of God to help others. You want to help others, not hurt them. Help them. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your Word. Thank you for truth, God. And Lord, you want us to know. You made it possible that we can know. And thank you, sweet Holy Spirit, for your conviction, your drawing us unto Jesus Christ. Thank you for the promises of your Word and for the promise that we can know. Help us to truly examine our lives. Lord, I know this folk in here is lost. I ask you to convict, Lord, draw. In Christ's name we pray.